Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service. Back to how God worked through Pete in the cornfield. That reminded me of an interesting little thing that my family used to talk about growing up. If you've ever heard long prayers in some churches, sometimes people tack on and pray for the missionaries in the foreign fields. And some people, that's almost a vain repetition. It's probably not. It's probably prayed from the heart. But one of my aunts apparently understood that to be pray for the missionaries in the cornfields. And so that's how she would pray. So Pete, she may have prayed for you when you went out to plant corn that day and your neighbor got saved. So isn't that amazing? And one other thing. Apparently the clock fell off the wall and broke this morning, which you all, I think, heard. So if it's 1 o'clock and I'm still preaching, somebody at the back, please wave your arms because I want to stop. back to Pete playing hockey. I heard that it needs to be fiery or he might fall asleep. Well, my thought was I'm going to keep it short so he can stay awake. But enough about you today, Pete. We're glad you're here. All right. I think you all have heard the song. You're probably familiar with the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Stay with me, but I'd like to do the opposite right now. I'd like to list our trials, list things that are the opposite of blessings that you maybe encountered this week, or you maybe might encounter next week, or you know, maybe it didn't even happen to you, but maybe you saw it in someone else. What are some of the things that you face? And I know we try not to think about these things, but I think when we all get thinking, we're going to realize that there's lots of stuff going on in our lives. And just tell me some of those things, and we're going to write them down. Doesn't need to be profound. Temptations. What else?
Wet weather.
All right. Wet weather. Yeah, if you're like me, and I could add to that windy weather. So wind, it makes me depressed, I'll just tell you. Just nonstop wind like we had the other day. I want to crawl back into bed. What else?
Too much to do.
Keep them coming. Death. You don't have to put your hands up, just say.
Sickness.
Safety, safety. And maybe when things are dangerous, that can be hard on us.
Misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding.
What's bad about misunderstanding, Fanny? All right. Attitudes. Broken relationships. Or even strained relationships. False accusation. Sorry? Fear and anxiety. Debt? So, is debt, so along with debt, some people are maybe not, maybe debt isn't a negative, but where I think we all agree debt is a negative is when we can't make the payments, when we can't meet our obligations. So I'm going to just say financial stress. And I think we all sort of can understand some of that, where maybe we're meeting our payments, maybe we have a decent job, maybe things are sort of going well, and then all of a sudden we get a recession, and maybe we lose our job, or maybe the engine goes in the car, and here's, you know, $3,000 that we didn't have. That brings a lot of stress, and it's a trial. What else? You know, there's the whole thing about Travis, when you mentioned sickness, I believe, and I remember when I was much younger. I didn't know Travis, but we actually prayed for Travis because he was sick, and he had, was it leukemia? Okay, Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so you had a level of stress there. How old were you at that time? Okay. I thought you were younger, so you were 13, so you understood what was going on. But, you know, think of that situation and the stress that Travis's parents were going through at that time. So, you know, sickness and concern for others, I'm just going to say concern for others, can actually wear on us. That can be physical concern, that can be a spiritual concern, maybe someone that we love is making bad choices or has made a series of bad choices, and that kind of thing can almost envelop us. You know what, if this is sort of like blessings, the more you think of them, the more you realize that there's more things that could be added to the list. However, what I'd like to do now is to list some things about God. So tell me some things that you think about God, and it can be a Bible verse, it can be a phrase, it can be a word. So what is God to you? What do you know about God?
Infinite.
Okay. It's faithful. Creator. Healer. Is that what I heard? Sorry. Healer. Sorry. Safe. Forgiving. Unchanging. All-knowing.
Merciful.
Merciful. What was the last one? Sovereign. Are you ever depressed? Back to this side of the list, there's one that I forgot. Are you ever depressed when you see injustice? I think we all are. Aging. Are you experiencing that? All right, back to this side. What's that? Walking with God? Walking. I'm going to say that God, as when we walk with God, we can have a relationship with God, and God wants that. What else? Delights in his children. Protects his children. And what was that last one? Love and truth. Okay, back to the delights in his children and protects his children. What else does that tell us about God that we sometimes talk about and no one mentioned today? Father. What else? Sorry? Provider. If you have a verse you'd like to read that tells us something about God, go ahead. Did you ever have about 10 of these happen at once? And what verse meant something to you? Or maybe 15 of them or more? Reading the Bible. God feeds us with his word. Feeds. Word. Eternal. Self-existent. He gives us strength. He gives us courage. There's a whole lot more. Thank you. It's a beautiful verse about, you know, how God looks after us. Keep going. Verses, descriptions.
My light, my salvation.
Right, salvation and my light. Light. Light to my path, salvation. Right. I think we have love, but I'll write it on again. The beginning and the end. Sorry. Right. God is going to be with us right through the end. All right. You know what? God is such a sure, something so sure that we can hang ourselves on. God cannot change. God will not change. He'll be there for us from beginning to end. Thank you. And happy birthday, Tyler. I heard that today is your birthday. All right. Anything else you'd like to add to either of these lists? The one that I don't think we have on here, on the left side, that I think all of us can relate to is failure. Or, you know, sin. Those are all things that, you know, I think we relate to, and they sometimes really take us down. I guess a verse that I've often thought about is the one, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You know, if there's a time when, you know, when 20 of these things happen all at once, you know, I go to that verse. And it's so refreshing, and it's encouraging just to realize what God does and what He is for us. Well, keep thinking about both of these lists as we discussed this morning. You know, I think it's fair to say that all of us can relate to most of the things on here. We know what this is about.
And I think that's part of life, is the trials and temptations and the difficulties of life is real. And there's verses about that I want to read. Actually, I didn't record them. But if you think of the verses in Genesis where there was a curse and God said, in sorrow you're going to bear children, the sweat of your brow is you're going to eat bread. There was another verse later on that in Psalms, I believe, where it talks about our life is 70 years and maybe 80 years, yet is our strength labor and sorrow. You know, the best of life, the best that life can bring, has a lot of things on the left side, most of the things on the left side. That's our lot. Because we're in a fallen world, there's just sadness, there's difficulties, there's sweat, there's hard work, that's life. Did you ever, this talks about, we talked about too much to do, there's burnout, there's all those kinds of things. Did you ever turn off your light at 11 o'clock or turn it on at 4 o'clock in the morning and the thought crossed your mind, why am I doing this? What is going on? Why, what is the point? And I think we all sort of get those things from time to time. Thinking about God, we talked a lot about him. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Romans 4:8 says, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It's the goodness of God that brings you to repentance, the Bible says. And the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. Thy mercy, O Lord, Psalm 36, verse 5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I love verses like that from Psalms. It almost sounds like David is stretching it. When you're in grade 2 and you say, use the word billion, you have no idea what you're talking about. And when I was young in grade 2, I probably used billions a lot. And my sons, when they were in grade 2, they used, I think it's Googleplex, which is, I forget how many billions that is. I didn't even know that word existed. But it means huge. And we don't know what we're talking about. But in this this sort of sounds like that, where David is saying, your mercy, O God, is to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. It sounds like that kind of discussion. The thing is, it's true. That's true about God, and it's beyond the clouds. Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Another verse about God, we talked about it a little bit, 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The privilege to be God's son is great. There's so many, when you think of a father-son relationship, and start thinking about that, we get to be God's son. God is our father. How does that even work? It does. So, the next, so we've talked about our problems, and we've talked about God. And so how do we go from what is normal in all of our lives, which is the left side, how do we tap into that power that we talked about when we talked about God? So the next little part of the message I've just called living above. So we're all going to be, we all face the things on the left, but there is an opportunity, there's a very real opportunity, and it's actually God's will that we live above that. We're experiencing it here, but yet we're living above it. How do we do that? Well, again, there are, I was going to say a billion verses that give us direction here. Probably not quite a billion verses, but there's a lot of verses. And I've just listed a few. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And verse 10, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So Paul had figured out a way, I think, to live above. He experienced God's grace, which was enough for him. And I don't see Ken right now. There I do. But Ken, you preached my message in like 2 minutes this morning. Thank you for that. So if you forget everything I said, I hope you remember what Ken said. But you experienced that, where God's grace was enough for you. And it, and you said, maybe enough for half an hour, or I forget your, or maybe for an hour, or maybe for a day. You know what? God's grace is sufficient. And Ken was giving testimony to that, and I trust that we all can. You know, God's grace works differently in every situation and for every person, but God's grace is sufficient. Claim God's power. Without, you know, as your infirmities come, as the things on the left pile up, that's an opportunity for God to show himself more. And because of that, Paul said he takes pleasure in infirmities. How else do we live above? We feed ourselves properly. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And Psalm 103, verse 5 said, "Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." You know, if things around us physically can be deteriorating, but our spirit and our inner man can get stronger, not because our body's getting weaker, but because we're feeding on what nourishes us and renews us. The other thing that helps us to live above is perspective. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So there are certain things that if we look at them and we don't realize that there's more to this life, it will drag us down. And it's important, as was noted here, that we recognize the things which are from this life. And sometimes we have to actually look beyond. And I believe Paul, in his prison cell, with his feet tied and his hands tied and eating whatever meager fare he had, I believe that Paul's strength came from looking beyond and knowing that, you know, this will pass. And he's preparing, he's looking forward to, as it says, an exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
whatever all that is, but the next life. Paul was looking forward to that, I believe. Isaiah 40 is very familiar, verse 28 to 30, but I'm going to read it. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, there are two things that can happen when we're on the left side of that board, which we all are. We can find ourselves in a place where God's grace is sufficient, and there are times like this where God's grace is sufficient and we just keep our noses above water. You understand what I'm saying? Where maybe we're almost drowning and we're our tiptoes just on the rock and the water's up to here, but my nose is sticking out. And then maybe the tide goes down and we've got a bit more space. So God's grace takes us through those situations where we don't think we're going to even make it. But God also wants us to be at a place where we can soar and where we can fly. And that's what it talks about in Isaiah 40, verse 28. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They don't have any strength, or their strength is very, very low. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And we don't have a lot of eagles around here, but the great majestic eagle that flaps his big wings and goes, and then what happens to the eagle? Is it the eagle's strength that takes him so far up? No. Well, yes, it is. It's the eagle's strength, but then the eagle finds an air current that carries him. And that enables him to go up fast and to just soar. The eagle rides air currents. And I think that's how we can also soar. God gives us strength. God will give us what we need to get going. But then if we rest in God, if we find the air current that God has provided for us, God can enable us to soar. So we're looking down on these things, and yes, they're still way down there. We still have to deal with them from time to time, but we're cruising. We're making progress. That's what God wants for us. What does it mean? It says, they that wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? I'm reading from King James because I find this chapter very beautiful in King James Version. But I looked at a couple other versions and it still used the same word, wait. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? I think we know what it means the way that we normally use the word wait. We're waiting on our children to come to the table, or we're waiting. And to Ben's point this morning, sometimes we actually wait for God because God maybe has a plan, but it's for next week or next month or next year. And sometimes we have to wait, and that's true. The word waiting also means, as it's written here, means to expect, to look for, and to hope in him. And so as you look at the list of things that we wrote about God, look at all those things when you're in your situation and wait. God will come and help you, yes, but look at that list of things and expect and hope, because God
can do. That's who God is. We're not talking about things God did one time. We're talking about who God actually is, what God's actually made of. That is God right there on the right. He's sovereign. He's just. He's a healer. He's faithful. He's our strength. He's our salvation. He's a light to our path. All of those things are who God is. Look at those things and wait. Expect hope. And God will, I believe God will bless you with wings to soar if you do that. May God bless you.